MLB, NBA, NHL, NFL, Score Big has all the sports tickets you want at up to 60% off. It's easy to use. I've used it myself. All you got to do is log on to sportsgamblingpodcast.com and click the Score Big icon. Score Big, the lead pipe lock for great game tickets. Welcome, everyone, to the Sports Gambling Podcast. I am Sean, stacking the money green with my partner picks, Ryan, real money Kramer. Ryan, true or false, this podcast is delayed because you are afraid to discuss the 0-3 Giants.
Oh, false, unfortunately. I wish there was a decent reason like that. Not that I've been sleeping in hotels every night for the past 2 weeks. Yeah, I don't know, Sean. I don't know. Looks a little mean, like 07 still. They're just waiting to peak at the right time.
Yeah, I guess it's I guess it's still possible they could go 9-4 and go on an epic Super Bowl run, but the odds are certainly against it. Not looking great. All right, yeah, let's see. Well, we'll go through the week three action here in a second. I was actually in Chicago. So if you guys follow the Twitter at Gambling Podcast, I tweeted out I got to do an interview with Derek Rose for MTV Guy Code. It was pretty awesome. Adidas sent me out there to Chicago. They did this big kind of, it was more or less a pep rally, but you got like 5,000 kids from Chicago. They hung out. They did like a shooting, like a little shoot around shooting stars competition. They had a rap show by Big Sean. You know, we're hyping up the shoes. Then they did a slam dunk contest with these, like, high school kids from this, like, whatever Sprite. And, you know, like, whatever kind of, like, Sprite slam dunk contest regional winners. It was pretty cool. I put I think I tweeted from the Gambling Podcast as well, but there's a, like, Derrick Rose does an alley-oop to this kid, basically off the back of the backboard post, and then the kid grabs it. Twirls the ball, like takes the ball underneath the backboard and then slams it down for a two-hand jam. Pretty sweet. But yeah, the interview was awesome. Got a ton of free crap from Adidas. That's not the only reason I'm plugging it, but yeah, I mean, Derrick Rose, he was he's just a really nice guy, funny, joking around, and seems like a pretty cool dude. It's I don't know. And then you think about, like, he is only 25, so maybe he was right to kind of take the extra time. As far as his ACL injury.
Okay. I mean, it's one of the, yeah. I mean, he's got a lot of years ahead of him. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, the guy doesn't strike me as soft. I mean, maybe he was physically cleared, but just didn't feel like he could attack the rim or whatever. He felt like he just couldn't be the same guy. And maybe he thought, I don't know. But, he seems ready to go in Chicago. Should hopefully keep things interesting in the East. You know, especially with the – I mean, they played pretty well without him last year. I mean, I think if they would have had a healthy 100% Derrick Rose, could have at least gave the Heat a run for a couple games.
Yeah, he's a game changer. I don't know. Any hilarious interactions with any other people, Sean? Maybe members of the media?
Oh.
Any kid interactions?
No, I mean, there was a – well, we basically got to sit on the court. And right after it was over, all the kids, like, come storming down. And, like, you got all – they're all wearing, like, the Derrick Rose shirts. And they're, like, tugging on your shirt. Like, can you talk to Derrick and get his autograph for me? I'm his biggest fan. Da, 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 da. I was like, I don't know. I mean, it was nice enough to me, but – but it felt weird just bringing up random kids to him. Oh, and then also, like, it was kids, you know, like, early high school, middle school. It was a lot of kids. And they had this rapper, Big Sean. Now, maybe I'm just getting old, but he came out and just had, some like insane profanity to the point that Big Sean stopped himself at some point and was like, yeah, I didn't realize how many curse words that song had. Yeah, it just like the N-word, bitch this, bitch that, F-bombs flying everywhere. It was like 5,000 kids in the United Center just yelling like F that bitch. It was,
Yeah, I was actually going to ask you, a couple people asked me, they were curious if Big Sean was a different person than you. So I'm guessing it was.
Yeah, I guess he's a rapper from Detroit, but there can only be one Big Sean, Ryan. And so I had to settle a beef there. He took all the questions. It was funny. Some guy asked him about becoming a parent, and he went out of his way to diss his dad, which I thought was pretty funny.
Yeah.
And then I also asked him about if, hypothetically, you're a 5'9 guy playing in a rec league, if these shoes are going to make a difference. And he was like, oh, man. He started laughing. He's like, you might be in the D league. So dude was, legitimate. And he seems, I also got that he kind of seems like a reluctant superstar. Like, it's weird. Like, he's almost, the telling moment to me was they had these like hype guys kind of leading the pep rally. And they try to get the crowd chanting MVP, MVP. And he just he's like almost embarrassed. He like turns to them and like kind of nods his head saying like, nah, don't do that.
Do you remember in the All-Star game when like Dwight Howard and LeBron and Melo, they all want to come out and dance, and Derrick Rose is just kind of like, nah, man, I'm just going to walk out. We got to win this game.
He does seem, yeah, he seems legitimately humble, sincere guy, good dude. And I'm a Sixers fan, but how can you not enjoy watching Derrick Rose? So best of luck to the guy. Okay, Ryan, let's recap the Week 3 action. Kansas City Chiefs came into Philadelphia, and while this game was sold out, it was certainly a blackout for myself. Drank a ton of whiskey, especially the second half. Had a comedy show afterwards. I passed out. I woke up. I still actually had a pretty good set, but could not say the same thing for the Eagles. It was weird. They lost by 10 points. They were favored by 3.5, depending on where you got the number. Eagles' defense actually played really well, I thought. It was a huge improvement, I thought, for the defense. I mean, considering Kansas City had, what, 4 turnovers, and they got 7 points off one of those turnovers. So basically, they let up 19 points off 3 turnovers, and then one of which was they got the ball right at the 15. The Eagles just held them to a field goal. It's weird. It was almost the direct opposite of how they lost against the Chargers. Against the Chargers, no defense. Offense was amazing. Lost the game. In this game, defense was pretty good. Offense was horrible. Basically, the turnovers. I mean, McCoy still looked really good, and Vic had a couple big plays. So, kudos to the Philadelphia Eagles and the Chip Kelly just finding new ways to lose.
Yeah, I actually watched 0 minutes of this game, Sean.
Not a good game. These Thursday games, just sloppy. They're just not high quality. And like we said, Kansas City Chiefs, a lot of talent, bringing in a good coach like Andy Reid and just playing kind of just disciplined, boring football, but getting the job done. It's looked a lot like their win against the Cowboys, where it's not like they did anything that great. And there was even a lot of moments where you're like, oh, wow, they didn't score a touchdown here. That's going to come back to haunt them. But they just played good, consistent football, and it paid off for them.
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to win that division, most likely, but they might be around. I think they might be around for a wild card.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they're 3-0, so 10-6, 9-7, definitely within their shot there. Okay, Cincinnati Bengals at home as a 2.5-point dog win outright against the Green Bay Packers. Wow, what a game. Packers jump out to a 14-point lead. Green Bay comes roaring back, and then Cincinnati just makes a crazy comeback of their own. Great game, back and forth the entire time. I both had Cincinnati here, but man, did not feel good about that for a while there.
Oh, it just seemed like they were the better team, and then that little spurt that the Packers had was kind of bullshit. And then the Packers Bengals right at the ship. Bengals are good. Bengals are a good team this year.
Solid. Giovanni Bernard, I got him in a fantasy. That feels like a nice steal. And,
having a good year.
You know, possibly you were thinking maybe that was, a little, whatchamacallit, Hard Knocks hype, but he seems to be, well, especially last game, nice game.
I was hoping it wasn't, but I was buying into it regardless.
Yep. Ryan, a game we were all over big time, had it every way you can have it. The Dallas Cowboys at home laying only 4 to the St. Louis Rams. This was never a game. Dallas won 31-7, covering the 4-point spread and looking pretty solid, although reports from Dallas that, well, I forget the guy's name off the top of my head, but a defensive lineman was supposedly calling out Tony Romo in the locker room. And then now everyone's claiming that didn't happen, which I don't know how that a rumor like that randomly starts, a rumor that a guy in the press reports. That seems bizarre to me.
The rumor starts because it happened.
Yeah, they got, Dallas finally deciding to run the ball, got DeMarco Murray going, fed him, and looked pretty good. For me, this is more an indictment on just St. Louis not looking good and just the continued up-and-down nature of the Cowboys. Cowboys are just predictably inconsistent. You know, good game, bad game, good game, bad game, and, you know, they're on pace for another 8-8 season under Jason Garrett.
Yes. I didn't know who you were talking about for a second because you didn't refer to him as the Ivy League ginger.
Shane Irving, Dan Patrick Show, coined that nickname. Classic. San Diego Chargers. This Chargers team just piles up the heartbreak. Had a chance to win this game. Had a chance to tie it up late. Could not do it. Tennessee Titans win at home 20-17. Push all around. I think every book had this at a 3.
This was a 3.5 in some spots.
Oh, okay. Well, I like San Diego, so I wish I would have got the 3.5.
Hell of a backdoor, really. Really, really crazy backdoor. I mean, I don't know. Jake Locker isn't a guy who completes passes, and he completed a couple at the end of the game there that were pretty crazy.
Yeah. I mean, maybe this Tennessee's got a little feist in them.
I think they have a good defense. I think that's going to make them competitive, and Jake Locker's going to accidentally win some games.
Speaking of accidentally winning games, Cleveland Browns 31-27, winning outright. I think at kickoff, this line got up to 7 points. They were like a 7-point dog going into Minnesota. Everyone's saying Cleveland trying to intentionally lose. Try telling that to Brian Hoyer and the Cleveland Browns looking sharp against the Minnesota Vikings. And man, just more bad news for the Vikings team. Vikings seem to be emerging as the team that everyone. I think the Vikings and the Colts got a lot of, hey, this team got lucky and they're going to completely regress, and definitely seems to be holding true so far for the Vikings. And, I wish I would have got on this. I did have a sneaking suspicion that after the trade, it just seems like any time everyone calls out an NFL team like this, like, oh, man, they're totally packing it up. They're not, you know, they're going to be done. Then they miraculously seem to show up the next week.
Yeah, I mean, I liked them with the points, but I teased the Vikings to the money line, and that didn't turn out too well.
Should have teased it to Cleveland plus 12, right?
I know. I'm an idiot.
All right. Man, not a lot to report here. New England Patriots 23, Tampa Bay Bucks 3, Josh Freeman benched. Shiana moving to Mike Glennon.
I don't get this at all. Mike Glennon is not. Although, here's a little nugget for you, Sean. Do you know who Mike Glennon succeeded in college and actually forced the college to basically tell him to leave?
No, who?
Russell Wilson. The reason Russell Wilson transferred to Wisconsin was because Mike Glennon was waiting in the wings, and they wanted to get to him, and they basically said, sorry, Russell, we don't want you anymore at NC State.
Classic.
Yeah.
Well,
so, I mean, who knows? Maybe he's actually really good. I know his older brother played for Virginia Tech, and he was a giant pile of steaming crap. So,
and interesting in this New England Patriots team, I'm scratching my brain trying to remember a team that was 3-0, and the fans are just more. I can't imagine a fan base more concerned of being 3-0 than the New England Patriots right now. Like, they are just not. They just don't feel confident at all. The fans are just skittish. Brady's still constantly pissed off.
They're a really bad 3-0 team, let's be honest. I mean, they beat the Bills, the Jets, and the Bucks.
Well, they beat the Bills and the Jets barely, and then they beat the Bucks, but no Patriots fans were pounding their chest, and they won by 20 points. Just interesting.
Yeah, well, they've been there before. They know how to act. Most of the time. They are from Boston.
Arizona Cardinals went into New Orleans, jumped out to a 7-point lead, and then from then on, all New Orleans. New Orleans up 31-7. I really liked the Cardinals here, unfortunately. 7.5, 8 points. Felt like a good number. Felt like Arizona's defensive backfield would make some plays. Honey Badger did have an interception, but just too much. This New Orleans team is just really clicking. The D's stepping up and just handled the Cardinals at home.
This is the game that I think I'm slowly starting to feel. I kind of bought into a little of your Cardinals hype this year. They're garbage. They're really garbage. This was the one pick we got wrong in the contest this week. And yeah, I don't know. I think this is more about the Cardinals and less about the Saints.
Fair enough. Oh, Ryan, the NFC least woes continue as the Washington Redskins lost to the Detroit Lions at home, 27-20. RG3 complaining of the dumb fumble rule. He slid forward, ball popped out. Back and forth game, pretty competitive, but just indicative of this Redskins team just not being able to win games. And impressive for the Detroit Lions to win on the road. I thought this would be a place that the Skins would have a good game and kind of cover. I mean, they were only laying 1.5 at home. Couldn't get it done. Couldn't get the win.
No, seriously. The NFC East is garbage this year. It's crazy.
Oh, more garbage, Ryan. Carolina Panthers 38 to the New York Giants 0. I expected a players-only meeting this week. Eli to kind of take the reins and for them to just come out and really – really make a statement against a Carolina team who's just hasn't showed up until this game. Ryan, give me some insight as to why the Giants losing, but I can't remember a 38-0. I mean, when was the last time Eli Manning was involved in the shutout?
It was the worst loss since Coughlin and Manning came to the team. And I'm not saying the Giants would have won the game, but if you did watch this game, there were a lot of it appeared that the refs wanted to make sure that the, I mean there was every holding. It was just one of those games, and on top of that, they just their body language was so really was really bad. So it's almost I don't know at this point the spin is it was so bad last week. I hope Strahan flew into New York and started yelling and stomping around and causing some ruckus because God.
This is where the nonchalant Eli does not pay dividends. Pays dividends when he's cool and collected, calm, under pressure situations, hanging tight in the clutch. But when your team's just not showing up physically or emotionally,
it's the offensive line. They're getting worked so hard.
Yeah, and that's is it one guy individual? It seemed like the Giants' offensive line was a point of strength going into the season. What's happened?
I mean, I don't know. The guy who was getting beat, I think he got beat for 4 or 5 sacks, was a good left tackle last year, Beattie. And then the center boss is not playing well. Snee was kind of banged up. I think it's just a perfect storm of, like, guys are banged up and getting beaten. On top of that, they refused to play David Wilson for whatever reason.
He fumbled. Or didn't he get some carries? I didn't watch a lot of this game, Ryan. You're going
to more. They're starting to realize that he's the best player and they're playing him more. But they still think Scott's a better passer. There's at least 3 plays in this game where Scott just missed a block or was in the wrong spot and Eli got sacked. So I don't know what they're doing.
Coughlin needs
to get his head out of that.
It's rare that the Eagles are 1-2 and I'm at a point where I can talk shit to 50% of the division. So first time New York Giants and Washington Redskins off to an 0-3 start. And I think the Redskins, historically bad, let up the most – I don't have the stat in front of me, but let up the most yards ever for like 3 games at least for the first 3 games.
The Redskins have given up the most yards and the Giants have given up the most points. So,
well, hey, division's competitive.
It can only get better, Sean.
Baltimore Ravens, Ryan, my Baltimore Ravens, and I say that because last week, still called them the best team in the division, still believe that. Baltimore, 30 Houston Texans 9. Nice win at home for Baltimore in front of Ray Lewis. Unclear whether or not they were just worried or intimidated. I think the quote of the week has to go to Ray Lewis, who said, you saw the whole party bus incident for the Baltimore Ravens?
No, I did not.
Oh, wow. Okay, so there was a party bus. A stripper by the name of Sweet Pea smashed a champagne bottle over Jacoby Jones' head.
Wait, Sweet Pea, I'm picturing like a big black dude with a fedora on, not a stripper.
Well, Ryan, you're not completely off in your description of the individual. I'll leave it at that. You guys can Google images of Sweet Pea, the stripper. You know, not my cup of tea. Kind of, it's got some meat on the bone. Not necessarily fat, but, you know, she's got one of those chicks with the giant asses and crazy tattoos and crazy fake hair and wigs and
so
the whole nine.
So what happened after the game?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I mean, Jacoby Jones is hurt. He's rehabbing his knee. Now he's going to have to – it doesn't sound like he's – it's going to affect his injuries at all. But Ray Lewis had the greatest quote of saying, like, off-the-field incidents like this happened because of a lack of leadership on the team.
Oh. Yeah.
So Ray
– if Ray was there, he would have murdered her or allegedly conspired to murder her.
So he's – so Ray Lewis calling out people for off-the-field incidents, only in the NFL. Oh, Ryan, Atlanta Falcons 23, Miami Dolphins 27. Atlanta came in as a two-point underdog, two and a half to three-point underdog. Miami, Tannehill, clutch coming out late. I was kind of going back and forth on this. I think on the podcast I picked Atlanta, but, man, this Miami team showed up at home. And looking good. I think they, at least they're going to make it interesting in the AFC East.
Well, Sean, I will say, I watched this whole game. The Dolphins got a little lucky. Atlanta kind of outplayed them, I thought. And Miami got some fortunate breaks on the stretch. But they did convert them, so you got to give them credit for that.
Yeah, and Tannehill did come up in the clutch, so. Kind of got to give it
Tannehill
to him there.
Has some crazy high quarterback rating when being blitzed, which was I found that interesting. But their offensive line is really bad. They're going to need to figure that out.
New York Jets at home against the Bills. Felt pretty good about the Jets, and they look pretty good, relatively speaking, against the Bills. Got a little close late, but Geno Smith, nice big throw down to the field to St. Antonio Holmes, and man, Jets 2-1. Nice 27-20 cover at home against a division opponent. What can you say about this Jets team, Ryan? I think the more important question is, where will Mark Sanchez end up next?
I don't know. Maybe in San Francisco, now that they don't have a good quarterback.
Wow. All right, we'll move on to the next game. Indianapolis Colts 27, San Francisco 49ers 7. I felt great about the Indianapolis Colts, as I've been known to do, especially getting 10.5 points, winning outright. That's a sweet, sweet money line play if you guys were on that. 20-point win against the Harbaugh. Andrew Luck going in, outsmarting his former coach there. Ryan, you know what really made me feel good about this San Francisco pick?
Or maybe Colts pick?
Well, yeah, Colts pick against San Francisco. I was watching inside the NFL, and right after they lost that game to the Dolphins, you know, which was a tough loss. I mean, they definitely had a shot there at the end to win it. Andrew Luck immediately pops up, just starts clapping his hands around, like, "Hey, we lost that, blah blah, moving on." Like, just kind of almost in the same way that Russell Wilson, the way that they just moved past the loss, and you could see guys responding to him, following him. I mean, the guy is a legitimate leader and a legitimate game winner. Quick side note, speaking of inside the NFL, guys, do yourself a favor. I'm sure it's probably, you can get it online or Showtime On Demand, the LT documentary. I watched a good chunk of it.
When was that on?
I was on, let's see, Saturday night I watched it. Oh, man, it was great. It was just, I mean, pretty hilarious. And Boomer Esiason, I guess, had some quotes in there about how, you know, he had a storied rivalry against LT, and they asked Boomer, do you think the Giants could have done more for his drug abuse issues? And he's like, yeah, Bill Parcells, they enabled him, blah, blah, blah. And now LT is firing off in the media. He's going on a radio interview where he went on this profanity-laced rant on Boomer Esiason.
Oh, this is great.
Sounds like he's ready to sack Boomer Esiason once more.
Yeah, Boomer didn't realize that LT's going to try to kill him now.
One of the nuggets I really enjoyed most was they talked about LT's cocaine use, and LT talks about how the first time he got in trouble or got suspended from the NFL, he's like, yeah, I mean, I was surprised. You know, yeah, I mean, yeah, I was doing cocaine, but that wasn't my urine. He's like, I was buying urine. That's how I kept passing the tests. He's like, I kept using other guys' urine. Must have bought the wrong urine that day.
he's really candid about it too, which makes it kind of funny.
And it makes it hilarious because people are pretending like they're shocked when they read about like Von Miller's urine buying. This is like 25 years later and guys are just still buying urine.
Yeah.
What a sport, Ryan.
Yeah,
Jacksonville Jaguars, historic underdogs. I think on the podcast I said Seattle. I may have switched it here in my Yahoo pick I'm looking at late. But tough to go against a historic favorite. But Seahawks, no trouble covering this 19-point spread, 45-17.
John, you know who didn't switch their pick? Me.
Yeah.
I told you that the Seahawks were going to win this game by a wide margin.
Yeah. No, I think I switched two picks and both got them wrong, so I'm no longer switching picks.
Yeah.
Speaking of, well, I was in Chicago. Team is fired up, feeling good about their Bears team, and with good reason. 40-23 win in Pittsburgh. Wow. Nice 17-point win. Covering as road favorites, always impressive. 2.5 in Pittsburgh, which is still a tough place to win, regardless of the Pittsburgh's woes. The Chicago defense is, I think, really the story. Well, first off, Jay Cutler not getting sacked, the offensive line providing enough protection against him, and the defense just being able to hold up and play well and get turnovers and touchdowns. I mean, they already have 4 defensive touchdowns, I think.
They're doing it again. I mean, that's one of those stats that's supposed to be a little bit random, right? Defensive touchdowns, and they're scoring again. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know. This Bears team, I don't think this Bears team is, I think the public is getting a little too high on this Bears team. But, yeah, I mean, what's not to like?
Exactly. And especially with Lovie Smith, it felt like they wouldn't have that same ability to create those. It seemed like, okay, their defense is going to slide. But, hasn't been the case so far. Okay, and the Monday night, Peyton Manning continues to dismantle teams. Denver Broncos 37, Oakland 21. Pretty sure I had Denver on the podcast, laying 15. And this just highlights how important it is to get the right number at the right time.
Sean, you're telling me, man. I grabbed it really late at 16.5. I bought a half point.
Oh, wow. Okay, perfect.
And,
yeah, because I was saying the public had got it. The action up to 17 points in some places.
Yeah, this was, I mean, God, the Raiders are bad.
You want to talk about great middles. I mean, you easily could have had 14 and a half, definitely. Maybe even 14 and 17. So that would have been a nice little double win there for you.
Yes,
not much I can take away from this game, except just Denver continues to dominate and Oakland, not a lot going on. Darren McFadden, I think, just not there.
He threw for more yards than he ran.
Yeah, which is to be expected because they don't have a lot going on. All right, Ryan.
They'll be all right. I think I'm standing by the. Now I don't know if we're gonna call this officially a cover or a push or what we're gonna do in the long run. But I mean, even if you call it a loss, they're 2-1 against the spread. This team is gonna continue to cover spreads.
Yeah, I mean, I much prefer to have them as a big dog than, say, the Jacksonville Jaguars at this point.
Yep.
Okay, Ryan, you want to update the pick 'em? Who's wearing the shirts?
Oh, well, Sean.
What's up?
We do. We don't have a top five this week. We have a top six.
Okay.
We have a Nostradamus with a week of 14 last week. That's pretty impressive. He's sitting at a total of 22. I am a genius with 21, and then we have a four-way tie at third place. Zim Zum Not Dumb with 20. Angular One with 20. Mile High Manning. GetYourPicks.com. Well, a little plug there. And of course you, Sean.
I know. Having a good year.
Start to the pick'em. I'm hovering around with 17 points, five back in 17th place.
Yeah.
So.
All right, Ryan. Let's get to breaking down this week four action.
Oh, we should real quick little fantasy update.
Oh yes.
I don't know if you've looked. Are you now still undefeated, Sean?
You know what?
You lost.
Yeah, I was going to say I probably lost because Vic didn't play well.
We're down to two undefeated teams, one in each division, Johnson & Johnson in the East, League Heads in the West, which brings us to do we need a League Heads update too?
Have you been, yeah, sure.
Have
maybe
you been the League Heads, Sean?
Well, I actually lost last week's matchup by only like $100. I turned it into – 12 grand or something.
Wow.
And I still lost, which was pretty impressive because.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I bet like a grand on something. And then, like I said, I was traveling, so it was hard to log into League Heads thing, but I was able to, get in a bet for the Monday night game.
Oh, nice.
And threw 4 grand on the Raiders and the over, and I swayed it a couple points. So I had Raiders like plus 18. So, and hit a nice parlay there.
Sean, you should know that there is a mobile site, so you should be able to access it from your phone and it to look correct and be very usable.
Oh, well.
Look at that.
We'll have to speak to your web development team on that issue.
All right. So, yeah, Sean, you are 0-2, in fact, 0-2, but you have a nice stack in front of you. I, of course, am 2-0, but the real phenomenon is Shoddy 17-17 Cali style, who has a season WAD of 31K through only 2 weeks of play.
Wow.
That's impressive.
Shoddy style, if you're listening to the podcast, email us your picks.
Yeah, seriously.
No, seriously, though. Tweet us your picks at Gambling Podcast. And any of you guys, obviously, who have picks, we always retweet them just so it's always fun to see what other guys are picking, why they're picking it. And
$50 gift card and a t-shirt to the winner.
Yeah, so stay tuned to League Heads.
All right, Sean, you ready?
Yeah, let's do this.
All right, Thursday night. These games are just shit. They're shit storms. And the 49ers travel to St. Louis, where the Rams are 3-point home underdogs. I think we talked about this briefly before the show, Sean. This feels like a trap to me. It feels like my instincts want me to take the Rams, but I feel like the Niners have to bounce back. My concerns are that their best player on offense, Vernon Davis, might be out, and their best player on defense, Aldon Smith, is definitely out. And their second best player, Patrick Willis, has a chance of missing the game. So this game just screams stay away from me, but I'd probably just lay the points with the Niners. I think the Rams got very lucky to go 1-0 against them last year.
Yeah, to me, this is just a pick against St. Louis and not necessarily a pick against San Francisco. I agree with everything you say about the 49ers and why it would be a good stay away. That being said, I'm still going to go with the 49ers. I would definitely pick St. Louis if this was 3.5, though. To me, how does Harbaugh lose 3 games in a row? I don't think he does. And I don't believe in this St. Louis team. I think Kaepernick's desperate. And I think if you get a mobile quarterback who's desperate in a dome, he's gonna resort to his legs and get back to his playmaking ways. So I think San Francisco wins by like 10 points. So, but I mean, I know I just said I'd take St. Louis if it was 3.5 because I feel like that number's a little better, but now that I think about it, I feel like San Francisco takes care of them.
It's just a stay away. And if I'm having to pick every game like I do in a pick 'em, I'm probably going to take San Francisco here, but I don't know. It looks like the Lions getting ready to move up to 3.5. But of course, Sean, we will be using the Las Vegas Hotel Super Contest lines, where we should note that we had an awesome week last week. Went 4-1. Yep. Feels really good when you go 4-1. Makes you feel really smart. So
not only did we go, our team go 4-1 in the Super Contest, but also it was a bad week just for all the top picks. So definitely made up some ground there.
It was a moving day for us. All right, Sean. Well, the Pittsburgh Steelers head to Minnesota. Wait, no. No, they head to London to take on the Minnesota Vikings.
Oh, wow.
Another reason I like the Vikings under before the season, they only have 7 home games. Where the Vikings are getting 2.5 points. I don't know what to think about this game. 2-0-3 teams. Someone's got to win. It's got to be the Steelers, right? You got to just back the quarterback in this one.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Maybe AP has a couple big plays. I mean, these both teams have some obvious holes here. I think at the end of the day, though, you're just going to have to go quarterback here and give it to Ben Roethlisberger. Guy's proven winner. He's had to play in all types of environments.
When's the last time he played in the shadow of the real Big Ben?
Oh, wow, right. Over under how many times they mentioned that?
That's good. If Jim Nance and Phil Simms are calling the game, that's going to be mentioned at least. Yeah, so it's on CBS, so maybe it will be. Yeah, that's going to be a go-to joke for Phil Simms for sure. All right, John.
Yeah. So, yeah, I actually like Pittsburgh. Now that I think about it a little bit more, I'm enjoying the idea of Pittsburgh here.
I just think Pittsburgh has a better chance of overcoming random traveling adversity.
Yeah, their flight's like – yeah, a little bit closer. Pittsburgh.
It comes down to, I feel like for these long distance games, you got to take the teams that are that have better leadership and
they're a more veteran team. And I don't know if Christian Ponder's game translates overseas.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say I don't know if his game translates in the NFL. All
right. Yeah. Regardless, he's not translating.
All right, Sean. Baltimore Ravens. You're Baltimore Ravens. Ooh. You somehow think they're best team in the division. They head to Buffalo, where the Buffalo Bills are a very familiar 3-point home underdog. What do you think, Sean? They haven't given up a touchdown since those first two quarter or those last two quarters of the season, the first game. So, are the Ravens for real?
Right, I think they are, but I'm a sucker for Buffalo at home. As a home dog, getting 3-4 points. I think they're going to play this Ravens team competitive. I still think Baltimore is probably the best team in the AFC North and will win the division, but I think this game's going to be a little closer than people think. So give me Buffalo at home. I'm seeing it 3.5 some places. So I would, if I was going to lay some money on here, on this game, I would definitely get that hook there. So
yeah, it seems like I don't know. At the same time, I kind of feel like it's a trap and I want to go. But, you know, I got to stick to it. I don't believe in the Ravens. Not that I believe in the Bills, but I'll roll with them here getting 3 at home. All right, Sean. My Cincinnati Bengals. A lot of home dogs this week, Sean. My Cincinnati Bengals head to Cleveland, where the Browns are 4.5-point home dogs. I love the Bengals, but this is definitely a spot you got to take the Browns. I don't think there's much even to talk about. It's a perfect storm for gambling. The line opened at 6. 82% of the money is coming on Cincinnati, yet the line has dropped to 4. That's usually a great indicator. Plus, I just like this. I mean, this Cleveland team has been scrappy in every game they've played this year. So,
yeah, you kind of talked me into it with some of that. My only concern is that does Cleveland have a letdown game after their first win?
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? I don't know.
It's a divisional game. I guess new coaches, so that kind of takes...
Divisional game in state. I guess they keep it closer.
But it's new coaching staffs, or at least new coaching staff for Cleveland. I don't know. And also, how will the team play around the swirling rumors of other players on the team being shopped? So it's definitely, you know, it can go in one of two ways. Either they rally together and play well, or they just completely shit the bed.
Yeah, Ryan, I saw a prop that said, will Brandon Whedon start another game for the Cleveland Browns this year? No was only...
No, he won't.
Yeah, no was like a minus 110. So it was, or actually, you might have even been getting plus odds or something crazy. I don't see how Brandon Whedon would start another game, because if Brian Hoyer plays well, they're going to have to keep him in. And if he plays poorly, then they'll just keep him in. So I don't see how any way Brandon Whedon sees the field again.
Yeah. Don't disagree.
I mean, with the exception of injury, which is a very real possibility.
Yeah. All right, Sean. Your Indianapolis Colts take to the road, where they are another road favorite. They head to Jacksonville, Sean, where they're favored by 7.5 points. This has now only one week removed from me saying that I'm over the Jacksonville Jaguars, but this feels like a massive overreaction to me. I don't see why the Colts should be favored by over a touchdown on the road. I think we're overreacting to a single game. And as much as it pains me to say this, Sean, I got to take the points and the Jacksonville Jaguars here.
Yeah, I'm going to have to disagree with you there, Ryan. I'm not going to pick the Jaguars ever again.
Okay.
Don't have much else to say there.
Yeah.
I understand all, you know, home dog, historic trends. Jacksonville, I think, is historically bad, so we might have to throw out the record books with this team. So give me the Colts on the road, lane 7.5.
Ugh, so it almost is. It's like a new version of the 3.5 point trap line. All right, moving on. The Seattle Seahawks, another team that is riding high right now, head to Houston, take on my Houston Texans, where the Texans are getting 2.5 points. Well, I mean, honestly, Sean, Texans as a home dog, this line was Texas. I believe it was Houston -3 before the season. It's now almost completely flipped to Texans +3. Not to mention that Houston underperformed the spread last week by over 21 points, and now they are coming home to get points. And you know, Sean, that is a very strong trend. We're not much for trends, but that's one trend that seems to pay year in, year out, over 60% clip. I got to roll with it here. I just think that this is the perfect time to fade the Seahawks, and if they're gonna have a letdown game, it's gonna be on the road against a tough non-conference opponent.
Talking a lot of sense there, Ryan. You're talking a lot of sense, but I just can't go against the Seahawks right now. This team is too much of a complete team. Russell Wilson is a much better quarterback than Matt Schaub, and I think Marshawn Lynch runs hard regardless. And I think for me, this is just, I see Seattle winning this game. So yeah, I don't like the number, but as long as it stays below 3, I'm going to have to go with the Seahawks.
All right. Yeah. I mean, I also think the Seahawks are going to be I think they're going to win the Super Bowl this year, but I think you got to pick against them from time to time. And I think this is a bad spot for them. All right, Sean. Drama in Tampa Bay, where Mike Glennon has taken over the reins from Josh Freeman. Mike Glennon's garbage. Well, at least his brother's garbage. Maybe that's why I hate him so much. And they have the Cardinals coming into town, but not so fast. Somehow the Cardinals are 2.5 point underdogs. I fully expected this to be a 3-point spread. So for that reason alone, I got to take the Bucks here. I guess I'm a little worried that the team is going to not be happy with this benching, but how can they be that mad? He's played like shit. I got to go with the Bucks here.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to ride the Cardinals. I don't see anything.
Let
I don't
those
see,
Cardinals.
I don't see anything in this Tampa Bay team that says they should be favored against another NFL team right now. Teams in total disrepair. Arizona still has some playmakers on both sides of the ball. And you got Larry Fitzgerald, hands down the best player on the field. So give me the Cardinals. And Larry Fitzgerald seems at his healthiest. He seems fully recovered from his nagging quad. So give me the Cardinals here.
We are disagreeing a lot, Sean. This is going to be tough. Next up, the Detroit Lions, who suddenly look like they might be a good team again, take on maybe their biggest test of the year to date, and that is the Chicago Bears, where Detroit's -3 against Chicago. I was a little surprised this wasn't 2.5 with the way the Bears have been playing. This is purely, it's a divisional game. The line is good. It's 3 points. And I love the Bears, but this, and as much as I don't like to back the Lions, this seems like a bad spot for the Bears. They're also coming off, you know, some wins where they weren't as good as the scoreboard. I think the defensive touchdowns are aiding them and making them look a little bit better than they are. You know what? I really wanted to take the Lions here because I think it's a bad spot for the Bears, but I'm going to take the Bears and the points. They're really good. They have multiple receivers. They have Jeffrey and Marshall and Bennett, and they can run the ball. And I don't know. I like this team a lot.
Yeah. I mean, this should be a good game. I agree with you. I think the line should have been 2.5. I think on a neutral turf, Chicago has shown that they're the better team. And this very well could come down to a field goal. That being said, and Reggie Bush is healthy. So I could definitely see the argument for Detroit. But again, I'm not going to go against the Chicago team right now. They feel like they're gelling as a team. They look like they're playing together really well. And yeah, I wouldn't like them as a road favorite here, certainly not. But this Chicago team, undefeated, as a dog, getting points, getting 3 points, I like them match up against a number of teams as a dog. So, yeah, give me the Bears.
All right, Sean, next up, Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs host the New York Giants, where the Giants also underperformed the spread by over 21 points last week. They are not at home. They are on the road getting 4, going against the old divisional foe in Andy Reid, who always seemed to play him pretty well. So I'm not going to bother talking about why the Giants might cover this game. I'm just going to grab the trend. I love that trend. I'm going to play it. It just happens to be the Giants here, and I'm going to hope for the best.
Ryan, I'm going to pick the New York Giants just so that it ensures, if for some reason, it's for me, it's really a win-win situation. Either I get the pick right or the Giants start off 0-4 and your season's over. So I'm definitely going to ride the Giants here getting 4.5. Classic win-win.
Yeah. Nice.
Really hedging my bets.
All right, Sean. Next up, Tennessee Titans, another team riding high right now, 2-1, off to a great start. No one's concerned about Jake Locker. They have the New York Jets coming to town, who might be the ugliest 2-1 team in recent memory, but they just find ways. And the Jets are getting 3.5 points. And I'm not exactly sure what to think here. But I still think we have to stick to what we said last week about the Titans. When we did the podcast, they were favored by 3.5. And this Titans team doesn't deserve to be favored by 3.5 over anyone. This line opened at 5. So if you grabbed a piece of it early, that's a real nice bargain. I think the play is the Jets here. I think the Jets keep it close. And I think they have a chance to win a close field goal game.
Yeah, I mean, aren't these teams both basically the same team? Solid defense, you know, ability to run the ball a little bit.
Yeah.
Have a quarterback who's not by any means a good quarterback, but finds ways to make some plays when needed. They seem like a mirror image of each other. So, to me, this should be straight 3 points. The fact that you're getting a half point, maybe a point, point and a half, 2 points, depending on when you lay the action. Give me the New York Jets here.
Yep, I agree with that. All right, Sean. The Dallas Cowgirls take to the road where they will be facing the San Diego Superchargers. The Chargers are 2.5-point home dogs. This is another one. The Cowboys are not that good. They're winning the division, which isn't say does not say a lot about the state of any team in the NFC East. But this is another one. It seems like the Chargers are finally coming home. I think they've been on the road for 2 weeks, correct?
And yeah, they had Tennessee and Philadelphia on the road.
And I think this is they're coming home. I think the Cowboys are going to be. I think it's a non-conference game, non-conference road game, which is always a spot to look to fade road favorites. So I like grabbing the Chargers here, even if I didn't hate the Cowboys so much. I think this is a spot the Chargers win the game.
Yeah, I mean, what exactly are we seeing from this Chargers team? From this Cowboys team? I mean, like I said, Cowboys are easy to predict in that they win a game, lose a game. They definitely seem to have that up and down. I mean, their quarterback was getting ripped by another teammate after a win. How often do you see that? They had a blowout win at home, and there's locker room issues. This Dallas Cowboys team isn't right. And by no means do I think the San Diego Chargers team is right, but I think they're right enough. And I think they've showed that they can play competitive. They've shown a lot of good football. I could obviously see the Chargers blowing this, but I think I think it's going to be an interesting game, probably a close game. So that being said, I'll have to go with the home dog here in the San Diego Superchargers.
Yeah. God, we never picked the Cowboys except for last week when we hit. All right. Oh boy. The Washington Redskins, the 0-3 Washington Redskins, historically bad defense. They take to the road. They have a 1:25 West Coast kickoff against the Oakland Raiders in Oakland. Oakland Raiders are 3-point home dogs. I don't know who's starting at quarterback, Sean. And if I know Terrell Pryor starting this game, I consider grabbing the home points. If not, I'm taking. I think the Redskins get their first win. And I think this is the game they get it. I think that the both teams this is a game you play the over. I feel like both teams have horrible defenses, and I think RG3 runs around a little bit more this game and maybe doesn't fumble the ball.
Yeah, I don't know, Ryan. I always like Oakland as a home dog playing to non-conference teams. I think there's a lot of problems going on in Washington right now. So, like you said, if Terrell Pryor starts, I don't know. Terrell Pryor or Matt Flynn, I think, and you're getting 3 points, I'm fine with that. Give me the Raiders.
All right. All right, Sean, next up, your Philadelphia Eagles and that high-paced, fast-paced offense head to the Mile High Stadium where they'll be facing the Broncos. The Eagles are getting 10.5, Sean. Please tell me why anyone should take the Eagles here.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess you take it because I'm looking at Yahoo right now, and there's quite the disparity. 78% have picked the Denver Broncos laying 10.5 points. I mean, it's tough for me to make an argument for this Eagles team. I mean, you know, Peyton has been he's been working these he's just been looking really good.
Yeah.
I mean, what can you say? The Eagles offense is 30th ranked. I mean, your case for the Eagles and 10.5 is pretty simple. If you want to make that case, it's they have the second offense in the NFL. I think that's yardage. They're getting 10.5 points, and they have, you know, 4 extra days to prepare. So that feels like you're building a case for covering.
Yeah, here's the problem.
That being said, I'm going to take the Broncos.
Here's the problem. Peyton versus that defense is not going to be pretty.
No. I mean, you saw what they can't handle the bubble screen, which is basically that's all Denver does. They just execute short screen plays that are tough to defend, and rely on the defense to make tackles, which is the Eagles' weakness. It's going to be a slaughtering.
Yeah.
That being said, I may throw a couple bucks on the money line because it's like insanely high.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm all over the Broncos here. And in fact, it's one of the games I feel safest about. All right. So.
No, I mean, I may sprinkle a little on the Eagles money line just for old time's sake.
Oh.
It's like plus 450.
Yeah.
And I believe in miracles.
All right, Sean. Sunday night. The Patriots get their first test of the year when they head to Atlanta, where Atlanta's only favored by 2.5. We talked about this. The Patriots are a very ugly 3-0 team right now. The Falcons don't lose at home. So that makes this very easy for me. This is Atlanta. You back Atlanta here all day. This should be 3 at least. I honestly think it should be a 3-point spread. It feels like a 3-point spread. And, I don't see how you back the Patriots here. I mean, I know Gronkowski might be back, but still, it's more than one player in New England. And,
yeah, I mean,
something's wrong. Like they don't have receivers that are getting open. I mean, they got some passing yards against the Bucks, but the Bucks have a bad passing defense. They're a stout run defense, but they'll let you pass on them. Something's still off with this Patriots team, and it's Atlanta at home at a night game and coming off a loss. It's just, this is not a good spot for the Patriots to be walking into.
Yeah, I mean, Atlanta is 1-2, but it's kind of a deceiving 1-2. They lost their first game on the road against a jacked up Saints team at home. And then they lost in Miami against a solid Miami team who, like you said, probably could have blown that game as well. And then they looked, they look good at home. To me, Atlanta is like almost as good as Seattle at home. I mean, they were 7-1 last year at home. I feel like, they're going to continue that trend. This definitely feels like a game New England drops.
Yeah, I agree with you there. All right, Sean, last up, another epic night home game. The New Orleans Saints, and their fans will surely be jacked up. They take on the Miami Dolphins, where I don't know if I'm being trapped here, Sean, but Miami's getting 6.5. And I know we did talk about their offensive line issues, but I also mentioned that Ryan Tannehill is the best quarterback in the NFL this year. I believe, I could be lying about that stat. He's either the best or a top three quarterback when facing a blitz. And who is he facing on Monday night? Rob Ryan. And what does Rob Ryan like to do? Blitz. So I got to take the points here. I don't know. Part of me thinks I'm being trapped, but I got to take the points here.
Yeah, this one I struggled with. I was definitely on Miami early. Then I made a case to myself for New Orleans.
The other case and I didn't bring this up along the way, but there are 4 games this week where the public were set more than 70% of the bets are on one side. New Orleans, Dallas, Indianapolis, and Cincinnati are those games. So honestly, I'm probably going to play the opposite of the public in all of those games and hope for 3 out of 4.
Sounds like a good strategy, with the exception of the Jaguars, right? So,
so that's the one. That's the one.
I'll ride the Dolphins here at 6.5. But sharps like VR and some other gambling sharp guys
are heavy on the Saints. The Saints are very high in the Vegas power rankings.
Yeah,
and they
look good.
I gotta be honest, I don't fully believe in them because I don't fully believe in Rob Ryan and that defense.
Yeah.
And I think if you look at what they've done against who, sure, they won a very emotional game at home versus Atlanta. I'm not going to take anything away from them for that. But then you move on and, the Cardinals are garbage. They barely beat the Bucks on the road. And the Bucks look to be a complete garbage team. I'm not sure, and sure, they are home, so maybe this is a trap, and maybe the play is New Orleans, and just to fade them on the road. But, I don't know, I do believe that this Dolphins team is better than I thought they would be. This is actually a matchup of 2 teams I took the under on, And I've kind of turned my opinion on the Dolphins. I think they're a solid team. They have a really good defense. So I'm very interested to see the Saints' offense match up against their defense.
All right, Ryan, let's do it. Upset special, lock of the week, three-team tease.
Oh, boy. So
all right,
my upset special is going to be a that's right, we said 4 points or more. That's tough this week, Sean.
I'll let you do 3.5 if you want.
Well, there's not even, it's really a 2.5 point dog. I don't know, Sean. Honestly, I'm just going to go with the, well, I shouldn't go with the Giants. That's silly. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the only dog that I really think is going to win outright, are the only dogs, the Chargers and the Texans. But, for the sake of this, just give me the Browns. The Browns roll again.
Nice. All right. What's your lock?
Well, Sean, my lock, man, they're going to bite me in the ass, but I don't know. I don't see how the Broncos don't win by at least 2 touchdowns. I guess it's not a super square play this week, but it just doesn't feel great. But yeah, I just don't see how this Eagles team can keep up between the altitude and the fact that they're not going to be able to get off the field on defense. And the fact that Denver's actually played decent defense. I think that's the play. I think I'd probably lay up to 13 with the Broncos. So at 10.5, I really like that. And for a three-team tease, this is an ugly week for teases. It really is, God. But I would probably do something along the lines of I would tease the give me the Texans up to 8.5, give me the Chargers up to 8.5, and give me the Bears up to 10. I think, or up to 7, or up to 9. I think that's where I'm going. Or take that back. I'm going Texans plus 8.5, Chargers plus 8.5. Broncos minus 4.5.
All right, Ryan. And what was your lock? It was the Broncos, right?
Yeah.
Okay. My lock of the week, I'll go with the Atlanta Falcons at home. For my three-team tees, I'll do the Chargers up to 8 points, the Colts down to 2 points, and the Bears up to 9 points.
Yeah, I like the Bears there.
And for my upset special, I'll have the Philadelphia Eagles winning 31-28 against the Denver Broncos.
Stop it.
All right, guys. That'll do it for the podcast. Thank you for checking us out. iTunes, Stitcher, rate, review, share. Of course, Score Big, Amazon, League Heads, all that on the website, sportsgamblingpodcast.com. For the Sports Gambling Podcast, I am Sean, stacking the money green, and he is Ryan, real. Or no, sorry, Ryan.
Oh, Sean, you almost screwed up there. Real quick plug, if you haven't seen it already, I have not. I'm super excited to watch it when I get back into L.A. Book of Manning premiered this Tuesday. Everyone's got to be really excited to watch this, right, Sean?
Yeah, Ryan, what's the – I always get them confused. What's the name of the Manning brother who's crippled and can't play football anymore? Oh, Eli.
Oh, you got me. Hook, line, sinker.
Burn. Kramer. Let it ride.